Like, we have something going here. We're building something special, and, you know, you can see it from the outside, and inside, it's even more beautiful.
The point of having a bunch of Ferraris and keep them in the garage, you know, like, take them out to the track, so.
Once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, it's only a Giant.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of All In with Art Stapleton, a New York Giants podcast brought to you by NorthJersey.com and The Record. I am your host, Art Stapleton, and what a wild first day of the negotiating period of free agency for the Giants. You almost feel like they had the entire free agency period in a span of about 3 hours. It's a wild, wild recap coming, and also a look ahead to day two. You know, by the time this podcast gets up online on Tuesday, some of this stuff, some of the targets that they may be after on day two may be off the board, but I know you guys are dying for a little bit of sense of what comes next for the Giants. So I'll try to kind of paint the picture. And if I foreshadow it and nail it, then I'll look good. And if I don't nail it, well, then you could come back and tell me, well, you got that wrong on the podcast. So, hey, look, we're not just the record for anything. It's on the record. So I'm on the record for as much as I can do. So let's go. We got a couple different topics from yesterday. I think one departure is a big story, and obviously one arrival is a big story, and that's Saquon Barkley going and Brian Burns coming. Let's talk Brian Burns first, and then we'll get into Saquon and everything that went down with the former number 26 of Big Blue. Brian Burns. Now, I've told you this story before in free agency, and sometimes it's, you know, hard to pin down rumors. You know, you go through fan chats and Reddit and the DMs on Twitter/X, and everyone wants to know, how come you're not checking on these rumors? You know, Burns is coming. Burns is coming. I first got an inkling and a couple different crumbs or nuggets, however you want to talk about it, over the weekend. And it made sense to me in terms of the connection that Joe Shane has with Dan Morgan, the new general manager in Carolina. So I started making calls and reaching out to different people in the league, both inside the Giants organization and outside. And to be perfectly honest, I got nowhere. But the more people that reached out asking me, hey, is there anything to this? Is there anything to this? The more I kept checking. And what you have to realize from a Giants perspective, they don't want this trade to blow up in their faces. So they're certainly not going to reach out to reporters. And I'm probably not the only one, but I think I was ahead of the curve, at least making that connection as far as Brian Burns is concerned. And I don't believe that they wanted to blow anything up. And I think that's kind of why they tried keeping it as quiet as possible. Now, obviously, Brian Burns' representatives would have loved to put it out there. And I have a feeling that's kind of where it came from, at least a little bit. So I can tell you that yesterday I woke up and, again, try to put the full court press on, maybe more of a 2-3 zone, trying to figure out what's going on with Burns. Is there any legitimacy to it? And the longer it went throughout the day and the fact that the Giants were not in on other pass rushers, it made it seem like, you know what, this has a real chance of happening. And to me, the biggest thing was the contract extension. I didn't doubt that the Giants would be able to put together a deal to get Burns as far as a trade goes from Carolina. Like I said, Shane and Morgan, very tight, worked together in Buffalo on Brandon Bean's staff. If you remember, go all the way back to Joe Shane's introductory press conference. Dan Morgan was one of the people that Joe Shane thanked for being a colleague and a peer and being with him and kind of helping him up through the ranks. It didn't matter if Shane had a higher title. They worked well together. Same goes for Ryan Cowden, who is now in the Giants organization. You know that he was a GM candidate for the Giants when Shane got the job. Cowden was in Tennessee and now ended up with Shane here and is kind of viewed by some as the heir apparent to Brandon Brown if Brandon Brown, the assistant general manager, gets a GM job. So I knew the connection between Shane and Morgan, so I knew that if there was a trade to be had, there would be a trade consummated. Giants had 2 second-round picks, relatively high. You throw in a day three pick next year, and that's the way you consummate it. Well, that's what happened. The Giants gave up number 39. They kept the second-round pick that they got in exchange for Leonard Williams from Seattle, and then they have a fifth-round pick for next year that we're going to Carolina. Now, the big thing was, could they get Burns to a contract? Now, that's where Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney factor into this equation, is that the Giants looked at it. You know, Burns had said in previous weeks he wanted $30 million a year. And for a legit pass rusher that he is in this league, going to be 26 next month, you knew you were going to have to pay. So I believe the Giants, with positional value, they will tell you that it was 13 for Saquon, 17 for Xavier McKinney versus 30 for Brian Burns. Now you do the math, and they felt as though they can get a running back and a safety, if not as talented as Barkley and McKinney, if they might not have the presence in the locker room, but they felt as though they could replace that value at a lower cost. And we can get to that later on. But 13 and 17, you do the math, is 30. They ended up averaging just under 30 for Brian Burns over the course of the 5-year contract. It's 5 years, $141 million, 87.5 guaranteed. The cap hit for this year is $23.5 million. So what that means is you're likely going to get automatic restructures for Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas, maybe even a Bobby Okereke restructure, just to get more cap flow this season for the Giants to kind of continue their business. I don't expect any quote-unquote big gets moving forward in the free agency period. But I do think that they'll still want to be flexible enough to address some holes. They still have players that they need to bring in, second corner, safety. Maybe you're going to look at a tight end, maybe even another offensive lineman if someone's on the board. Go from there, see what you can come up with. And then, of course, you need, in theory, a veteran quarterback to add to this quarterback room that right now is Daniel Jones, who is not healthy, and Tommy DeVito, and then presumably a rookie if they go with a rookie at number 6 or at some point in the draft come April. So that was the deal with Burns. Funny story, going back to when Burns was drafted in 2019 by Carolina, he was at 16. Dexter Lawrence ended up being at 17. I know the Giants had eyes on players. Devin Bush from Pittsburgh. Well, he ended up going to Pittsburgh. Devin Bush was from Michigan. Giants wanted to trade up and get him. They did not get him that draft. That was the draft that they drafted Daniel Jones 6 overall, not Josh Allen, the pass rusher, not the quarterback. So when they were sitting and Devin Bush went at 10, the pivot was to Brian Burns. Carolina took Brian Burns one spot before the Giants picked, and then the Giants took Dexter Lawrence at 17. So I know the organization has liked Brian Burns since that draft. And then when you consider, the funny story for me is that usually this time of year on social media, I end up following all of the prospects that I believe are, you know, in the Giants window of guys that they may consider. And I followed Brian Burns back then, coming out of Florida State, and he followed me back in 2019. And to this day, we still follow each other on social media. Now, I haven't had any conversations with Brian Burns, but I do think it's kind of funny that I believe that Brian Burns has always had his eye on the Big Apple and the Giants. And from that draft on, I think he thought he was coming to New York. We'll obviously have opportunities to ask him about that, but just kind of shows you some little things that happen. So Burns and I are buddies on social media. Not really, but we will be. So, you know, great nickname, Fire Burns. He's, you know, you're talking about the emojis are made for him online between the fire emoji and then his nickname of Spider-Man. He does the celebration, sack celebration of the Spidey crouch, kind of shooting the webs. That's kind of cool. And I think the big part of this was the Giants looked at how can we add foundational pieces to this roster, whether it's on offense or defense. And I believe when you look at a defensive line and Cam Jordan, the all-pro defensive lineman from the Saints, who's kind of one foot in the league, one foot into media, you know, he's a guy who will really be, you know, a contender for the Hall of Fame at some point. That's how good Cam Jordan has been in his career in New Orleans. He tweeted yesterday, a defensive line of Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Brian Burns. Wow. And that's what Joe Shane wanted to do here. You've got Dexter 26, Brian Burns will be 26 next month. Kayvon's at 23. Bobby Okereke is going to be 28. And Deontay Banks is 23. So those are your cornerstone pieces on defense. Do you need more? Absolutely. Would you have liked Xavier McKinney? Sure, but not at the price point that he ended up signing, $17 million a year in Green Bay. Good for X. Moving on. So Brian Burns coming into the fold. We'll obviously have more on Brian Burns as we move ahead, but I got to grade that one an A for the Giants and where they've, you know, kind of added to that edge position. Now, do they move away from that now in the draft? Possibly. Maybe they add to that position in the draft. Who knows? But I think you're going to see Shane Bowen's defense try to rely on the front four a lot more to get pressure. Wink Martindale's defense relied on blitzing. It doesn't mean that Bowen is not going to blitz, but his pressure is going to come from his front. And that's good news for Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and then we'll see what else the Giants add up front. You know, complementary pieces, not necessarily a big-time prospect or a player off of the market. All right, so that's where we're at with Brian Burns. That's kind of the lead story. The second story that you can argue is a lead story, but since it happened so early in the day, I think it kind of faded a little bit, and that's Saquon Barkley. I know I told you over the weekend that Philly was not an option. That's essentially because I was told by people close to the situation that Saquon felt like Philly was not an option. And yet, as I tweeted and as I reported, the idea is that things are so fluid in free agency that something can change drastically on a dime. And that's exactly what happened. Philly's interest was real, and they came with the number, and they got Saquon Barkley, $26 million guaranteed over the course of the contract with the Eagles. And here's my take on the Barkley situation from a couple different angles. Number one, the Giants wanted Saquon Barkley back, but not at his price. Saquon Barkley wanted to be back with the Giants, but not with their price. Do I believe that the Giants were eager for a reset on offense to not have this offense built around Saquon Barkley? Absolutely. I think they wanted that reset last year, but they couldn't get that reset last year because of everything that Barkley represented. You look at the fallout yesterday with Barkley going to the Eagles, and you realize if he didn't go to the Eagles, the Giants would be slammed across the board for letting Saquon Barkley go, even if it was the smart football decision. And as I mentioned, the math just worked in their favor. You got a 26-year-old, soon-to-be 26-year-old pass rusher for the price of a running back and a safety, and now you got to see how they replace those spots. Devin Singletary comes on board yesterday for essentially half the price of Saquon, with the contract that he signed, and then who they sign at safety. Maybe we see a Jordan Fuller, North Jersey represent, Old Topan, Ohio State is now with the Rams. I could see a Jordan Poyer. He's got that leadership quality. He has the connection to Shane and Dable from Buffalo, was released, so he doesn't count against the compensatory formula. Maybe a Jeremy Shinn from Carolina, just going through my notes here. Cam Curl is still on the market. I think he'll end up getting signed today. I think the Giants were in on him, but I think he's going to be too high, probably price out around $9 million a year. That's not going to be what the Giants want. So from a football sense, Saquon did the best thing he could for himself. I mean, and for a guy who is essentially given as much as he can to the Giants, and I wrote that post-game after his final game, which ironically was against the Eagles back in January, you know, what he did off the field was probably more impactful than what he did on the field. And I'm not trying to say that Saquon Barkley is not a good player or that he did not have good seasons. They don't make the playoffs in 2022 without Saquon Barkley. They don't make it without Daniel Jones or Dexter Lawrence either, or Andrew Thomas. But Saquon Barkley was definitely valuable and impactful that season. You have to go all the way back to his rookie season for another season that was comparable. And I think the true nature of Saquon right now, the impact that's being felt, is for the younger fan base. And, you know, I've talked to people, fans, who yesterday hear stories about, you know, their 11-year-old kids coming home and having to break the news that Saquon is going to Philly. And the impact isn't for the younger fan, I can't believe he's going to Philly. How is he betraying the Giants? The impact is, I can't believe Saquon's leaving. And you had the same impact with Odell Beckham Jr. when he left. The jerseys, the younger fan is invested in Saquon Barkley a heck of a lot more than the Giants are overall, to be perfectly honest. So when you consider a preteen young Giants fan that is trying to follow in the footsteps of their parents or their uncle or their aunt or their grandfather who are fans of the New York Giants, they only hear stories of the Super Bowls. You're an 11 to 12 year old kid. The Super Bowl 46 was 12 years ago. You have no connection to that Super Bowl. You've watched videos of Victor Cruz and Eli Manning, and you love hearing about, you know, Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck and OCU Manura and JPP. But the connection you had to the Giants, win or lose, and it's more losing than winning, was with that 26 jersey. You don't see Antro Roll when you see 26 if you're a preteen. You see Saquon Barkley. And the heartbreak for kids yesterday, I think, is really part of this. We can go back and forth about the anger that Giants fans are feeling about Saquon going to Philly, and yeah, it's gonna be there. You know, you see the exchange that Saquon had with Tiki Barber yesterday online, which was kind of out of character for Saquon. You know, I heard Tiki on FAN last week talk about what was going on, and he felt as though, you know, if Saquon went to Eagles, he'd be dead to Giants fans. And it was said with tongue in cheek. Tiki said, you know, you're dead to me if you go to Philly. Now, obviously, hearing it and then reading it on a meme that was made, Saquon saw the meme. I don't think he read it. I mean, I don't think he heard it. I think he read it and fired back at Tiki yesterday. And it was pretty vicious for what social media can be. And we all know how vicious social media can be. Saquon going after Tiki, kind of, you know, hinting about Tiki's issues with the Giants fan base and the Giants back when he called out Eli back in 06, and how he left the Giants for retirement in 06 and bad-mouthing Tom Coughlin a little bit. So, you know, Saquon kind of dredged that up yesterday, and I think he was stung by what he perceived as a shot from Tiki Barber. Well, I can tell you this. Tiki Barber and Saquon Barkley have not been as close as people would like to think. I believe it goes back, and from people I've talked to, it goes back to the 2020 season opener, Giants Steelers at MetLife, no fans in the building. And that night, Saquon had a nightmare in pass protection. And that week, Tiki came out and criticized Saquon for his pass protection. And I'm not saying Tiki was solely involved with or solely responsible for Saquon and how he felt going to Chicago week two. But Saquon had this feeling that he had to step up and prove himself. And that was the game that he tore his ACL. You talk to Saquon, he feels as though he put too much into that game and probably resulted in part to the injury. So that relationship with Tiki and Saquon, I don't think it was ever great. And it kind of bubbled over yesterday. And I can feel where Saquon's coming from. You know, look, I wanted to be here. They didn't want to pay me. They didn't want to pay me what the Eagles paid me. Why would the Eagles pay me what I wanted and the Giants wouldn't? you know, that's part of it. That's part of the free agency process. And the Giants had their number, and Saquon had his number, and the Eagles met it, and the Giants didn't. But back to that young fan. Until they start winning, until the Giants start winning with players that young fans can relate to, can root for, you know, the idea is that Saquon meant everything to them, meant everything to the Giants, because they don't have the trophy to root for. And when you're 11 and 12 years old, yeah, if your team is winning, you identify with the winning. But when you are not winning, you identify with the players. And Saquon was a player. When you say a player for a generation, for his 6 years, he was the player of this young fan's generation. And I think that's the heartbreak and the heartache for a lot of fans. Now, there'll be anger for Giants fans, both at the front office and at Saquon. But ultimately, I think the Giants grow from this. I do. I think this offense, they have an opportunity now to reset. Even if they, you know, whatever they do at quarterback in the draft, whether they take a quarterback at six, you know, the reality is you're looking at Saquon. He's in Philly. I want to see what that offensive line in Philly looks like without Jason Kelce, the centerpiece, the linchpin in the middle. So we'll see about that. Everybody's talking about how great Philly's going to be, and I have no doubt with Jeff Stoutland as the coach, and they still have key pieces. Obviously, Maiolata is a good player. Landon Dickerson's a good player. Lane Johnson is a good player, but they've had some injuries on that line, and now taking Kelce out of the middle. I know they have Cam Jurgens, who will likely step in at center, but he's no Jason Kelce yet. So we'll see how that line goes and if they're really going to block for Saquon the way everyone anticipates. But now the Giants move forward. Can Devin Singletary do what the Giants what they need him to do at running back? There's no question. And I think, as I said, allowing Saquon and McKinney to go sets themselves up not only for Brian Burns, but they can reconfigure this offense a little bit. And what Brian Daboll wants to do offensively, I think that's what they'll try to do. So we'll have more on Saquon. I'm sure I'll have a press conference at some point. We'll have reaction to that. But that's kind of where I feel for Saquon. But there are a lot of big players that have left this locker room. And, you know, I was joking with my producer, Paul Wood, who's a Giants fan, season ticket holder, you know, and he brings up the question here in our chat. With Xavier Barkley and Leonard Williams gone, is Graham Gano the true ping pong champion in the locker room now? Which, you know, that's what's on the mind of all Giants fans. I know, Paul, all your tailgating guys are all talking about, you know, who's going to win the ping pong games now in the locker room. Now, obviously joking, but the reality is that this locker room has a chance to kind of reconform itself. That's why looking at safety, I mentioned the names. I have Justin Simmons. I think he's ticketed for Philly. Vic Fangio was his DC and head coach in Denver. Then you had his position coach is now in Philly. Jordan Fuller, obviously, I have a soft spot being a North Jersey guy. I think he's a quality player. Younger, will be relatively inexpensive compared to the top of the market. Jordan Poyer makes a lot of sense to me. He also has that personality and that presence that this team kind of lacks on the back end a little bit. I mentioned Jeremy Chinn. Let's go to the offensive line now. The two guys, I know there are people who are upset, who are saying that, you know, why didn't the Giants go and get a big player off of the market? Why didn't they go for Mike and Wanu with the Patriots, who $19 million at the top of the market? I think the Giants went as far as they could. They stretched, and then they looked at it and said, well, you know, what would we rather have? And the fact is, even if the Giants went to $19 million, Nwanu went back to New England. So that was always a possibility on the table for him. So Jermaine Illuminor comes from the Raiders, was coached by Carmen Brasillo. The Giants look at him as a guy who can step in four of the five spots on the offensive line. He can fill in at tackle and guard on both sides. He can be the swing tackle. He can challenge Evan Neal at right tackle. If Evan Neal does not play well and does not come back well from a disaster of a second year, then Elmenor can step in at right tackle and they move. Now, the Giants still need another guard to really pencil in at the starting lineup. The guy we had on yesterday, Justin Pugh, you know, could you see Justin Pugh coming back on a relatively inexpensive deal? A year in the weight room. I know everyone looks at what Justin did last year and criticizes his play. But remember, Justin didn't do any football training in the offseason. Came off the couch, famously, and got to that point. Ben Bredesen is another player who they like, who I think if he comes back at the right spot, you know, maybe he competes for a guard spot. Maybe they draft someone to compete in that spot. But the other one is John Runyon Jr. I told the story yesterday, the connection between John Runyon Sr., Eagles great, Michael Strahan, the battles. They did not like each other during the playing days, but then when Strahan was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, who was in the audience as a guest? John Runyon. Strahan shouted him out in his press conference, talked about how he made him better. So it's kind of funny that Saquon joins the Eagles and John Runyon's kid. Now, who knows? Maybe the Giants will go draft Jeremiah Trotter Jr. too, to kind of keep that, you know, flip-flopping of the Eagles-Giants rivalry. But Runyon, economical, 3 years, $30 million. I know people have brought up Mark Glowinski's contract that Joe Shane signed first year, and there's a little trepidation. Will Runyon be what Glowinski was, which really was a disappointment as a free agent signing? The reality is Runyon was an ascending player at the end of last year, can play either guard spot, gives you some flexibility. He's 26 years old. And I think that's where the Giants wanted to do. They wanted to shop at the top of the market. But once the guard market exploded, they needed to trust their evaluation, trust their personnel, and they bring Runyon in. Now, could it be similar? I had some people write to me privately yesterday. It has me eerily worried that it's a Patrick Amame situation. I'd like to think not. Runyon was listed right after those top three or four guys in most everybody's list as a guy who could be had at a better price on this market. So we'll see what happens. He's going to have an opportunity, and we'll see how that develops. Are they done on the offensive line? I don't think they should be done. So it would be interesting to see how they attack that moving forward. Darius Williams, corner, visited the Giants on Sunday. Giants liked him. His price point was high, and he wanted to shop it around. So the Giants let him leave. He ended up shopping it to one of his former teams, the Rams. This morning, he got a three-year deal from the Rams. So he's off the board, out of the mix. So the Giants are still looking for that second corner to pair with Deontay Banks. I got a couple names for you. Kendall Fuller is at the top of the market, but maybe he comes in a little lower than anticipated. I'd look at him. Tre'Davious White has had some serious injuries over the last couple years, but we know when healthy, he's as talented as any corner in the league. Obviously, Shane knows him from Buffalo. Could he be had on a prove-it deal 1 year at an economical price? Another guy is Christian Fulton, who is probably right in their price range, was in Tennessee last year with Shane Bowen. He's a guy who's young. So maybe if the Giants make a commitment to him, and if Bowen believes in him, and then also if Jerome Henderson believes in him, you know, maybe they could bring him in to a situation now where he can kind of take that next step for this team. You guys know in the draft, I love Max Milton from Rutgers. I see him as a third round pick or an early fourth round pick to be that slot guy, to be in the nickel. I think he can play right away. I think he would fit the Bowen defense perfectly. So that's a guy I have my eye on in the draft. He had a great combine, kind of checked every box. So I like his attitude. He's kind of got a little bit of an edge, Mad Max. So Melton's a guy that I think as we move forward here, maybe the Giants keep an eye on. The quarterback situation, Sam Darnold off the board to the Vikings. I floated that out there. Tyrod Taylor signing with the Jets. $9 million a year to go to the Jets. You know the Jets weren't going to get caught with no backup like they did last year with Aaron Rodgers. So Tyrod does not leave New Jersey, but he stays in MetLife, only to the Jets. So where do the Giants go from here? You know, there are names that are out there at quarterback, Josh Dobbs, a Tyler Huntley, Jameis Winston. I'm not really sure where the Giants are going to go, but I do know that they believe that that's a spot, and that's why they brought Russell Wilson in, because he was so cheap that if he had committed to come to the Giants, he did not. He went to the Steelers. I think they would have looked at that and said, you know what, we'll take an opportunity to bring Russell in. So that's where we're at heading into day two. We'll have more throughout the week as warranted when we do a podcast. I won't promise you one every day. Because you just don't know it. Giants could go radio silent now for the next couple of days. And if there's nothing to talk about, then I'm not going to come and force on a podcast with you guys. But we'll do something later on in the week. If it's tomorrow, if it's the next day, we'll just have to wait and see. So appreciate you being all in as always. Make sure you keep checking all my coverage on NorthJersey.com. And for Paul Wood, I'm Art Stapleton. Thanks for being all in. And we'll stay all in with you guys too. Enjoy the free agency, and we'll be back soon.